Yeah.
My favorite.
It's Judd's Hockey Show.
And it's not just Judd's Hockey Show. It is the NHL trade deadline, 2 days off edition of Judd's Hockey Show. So we got the heavy hitters. We've got Jesse Pierce, Bar Down Beauties, of course. Find her latest podcast, I think, just posted yesterday. Also covers the Wild for NHL.com. Declan Goff. And we're going to talk trade deadline. We're going to talk potential extension, I guess, for a player. But before we do that, Jesse is wearing her varsity letter jacket. So give us the lowdown on your club and one of the great weeks of the year, the state high school hockey tournament.
God, it is such a good week. It's way better when your alma mater is in the tourney, too, as Matamidi has been. I don't want to start the discourse of they should move up to AA. No, they shouldn't. They are tiny, and they are just finding success now. But I love it. It gives me an excuse to wear this jacket that my parents spent probably an absorbent amount of money on back in the day in high school. So it's an homage to them. And it's actually, they're so warm. Like, I forgot how nice and warm these are. Nice jackets.
It looks very nice. I'm really happy for you. I'm really happy for your team being in the Class A tournament. Yeah. I'm sure Declan's had.
I'm actually pseudo
Matamidi.
I'm fine with Matamidi in Class A. I'm okay. Fine with them being in Class A. I don't have too much of a gripe with that. They are smaller than all the other AA schools. This isn't, you know, like a Hermantown or St. Thomas Academy, I really should say, situation.
Oof, yeah.
They belong in Class A. That's fine. And, yeah, go Zeps. We'll see what happens.
Go Zeps.
Yeah, Class A is great. Class A is fantastic.
You hate Class
A. At a smaller... should we play at a smaller rink?
Oh, God.
You know what? I'm done, because then the parents will, like, oh, can you say that about it? You know what? This guy grew up here.
I watched them play one tournament back in the day.
One class tournament was so great.
You
know,
God.
Yep, back in my day, it was a real champion. Rozo and Warroad both played up. Warroad's now in the Class A. I don't even want to get started. All right, we're going to talk NHL trade deadline. Bill Guerin, the Wild contract extension. But before we do that, Judd's Hockey Show today, sponsored by a new partner of ours, Nicolet Law, which knows that when you or a loved one gets injured, ordinary life, well, it can come to a stop and things can get complicated. During that time, insurance companies are likely to pressure you. They don't care if you get better. They don't care if your medical bills are piling up. And they don't care that you might not be able to work, but you know who does? Nicolet Law. They have seen every play the insurance companies have. That's right, their playbook. It's old school. But Nicolet Law will drop their gloves to make sure that you get the compensation that you deserve after an accident. So if you've been injured, get Minnesota's local award-winning injury lawyers. Get Nicolet. Start your path to winning at NicoletLaw.com or give them a call, 1-855-NICOLET. That is NicoletLaw.com. Check them out. We appreciate them sponsoring Judd's Hockey Show. All right, we are 2 days away. NHL trade deadline hits 2 o'clock Central on Friday. Moves have already started around the league. Just for full disclosure here, we're recording this shortly after 9 a.m. on Wednesday. Let's start with this one. Zach Bogosian reportedly, and as Jesse pointed out before we hit record, this has not been announced officially yet, has agreed to a 2-year, $2.5 million extension with the Wild. That does not include the old bugaboo, no trade protection. So he can be traded at some point, if indeed, because he's 33, and if the Wild continues to struggle next year, it might make sense to trade him. But knowing what we know, start with Jesse. You are Bill Guerin sitting in the GM's chair today at the, I believe it's the Minneapolis or the St. Paul Club,
yeah,
where they are headquartered. You are Bill Guerin. You are in the GM's office. You are in the chair. What are you looking at doing today, knowing that your team is 9 points out of a wild card spot, and essentially, other than Nashville, does not have a game in hand on anybody?
The last thing I'm looking to do is extend any players at this point. Like, it's not the time. Again, the timing is incredibly off, but it also is oddly and sadly enough fit Bill Guerin's MO as of late. Zach Bogosian, 33 years old. I mean, he played for the Atlanta Thrashers when the Atlanta Thrashers were still a thing. That's kind of how old he is. He's got, I think, 9 points, 1 goal and 8 assists through 47 games. He's fine. I don't dislike him back there on the blue line, but I'm not looking to extend him necessarily. And I don't know what the reasoning is for this timing, because again, you have a little bit of money. I know we talked about it last week where, hey, we have a little bit of money to spend, but let's do it to sign another player instead. Let's move forward on that. So if I'm Bill Guerin, I'm taking a real hard look at what my plan is, because right now this doesn't make any sense. You know, you have some players that are vulnerable and that you can move. And I think Zach Bogosian was slightly on that list, but it wasn't on the list of mine to look at a 2-year extension. I don't hate the 2 years. I don't hate the money necessarily. I hate the timing of it. Once again, there are other things that should have been priority over a Zach Bogosian extension.
So right now, let's stay on the Bogosian thing for here just a little bit. So right now, the Wild have Brodin locked in through 2028. They have Bogosian locked in through 2026. They have, obviously, Jared Spurgeon locked in through 2027. They have to obviously pay Brock Faber. Declan Chisholm, great name. He's probably going to get also another type of contract by the summer. So we kind of know who the Wild's defensemen are for the next, like, basically 3 years. And if you're in Iowa, if you're a defensive prospect, and sure, you can always, you know, maybe move a Zach Bogosian who doesn't have or has a modified no trade clause. I don't know if that kicked in with the new extension or not, right? That's free of it's out, which is good. But it just it's a weird logjam to me of, and the Wild have always been really good defensively, but they've kind of like logjammed all their prospects' chances of trying to earn an NHL spot because now they've also locked up a ton of defensemen. And giving contract extensions to guys like Zach Bogosian doesn't really fit that MO. So the whole thing to me is very, very confusing.
Apologies. There's a dog attacking me.
The doggy. Let's see the dog. We love dogs.
I couldn't look at you, Jess, because I was like, it was like Cloverfield. And I was like, I'm going to start puking if I continue to look at Jessie. So I'm just going to continue to stare at the cat-friendly screen.
The kid hit her buzzer, and so she thinks that I have the buzzer and that she's in trouble, and she's not.
Oh no.
No trouble. There's no trouble for the dog.
Apologies. So I miss a lot of that. Chaos.
MO of the story of that, Jesse, is stop re-signing defensemen and blocking your other prospects if you're going to continue to have Zach Bogosian on the roster.
Right.
And is this an indication that they don't like their defensive prospects? Like,
true.
Damon Hunt's come up and played, and I think there's something there, but then they went out and got Declan Chisholm off waivers from the Jets. Like, is this an indictment of Bill Guerin again holding on to a veteran because he loves them, or is this an indictment of what Bill Guerin thinks of the young defenseman?
I think it's what he thinks of the young defenseman. He's been drafting defensemen fairly high. I mean, prospects, as you mentioned, Judd, have come in highly recruited. Again, Carson Lambos is another guy. Like, there's been these demon that I've wanted to see and we haven't, and I've always been scratching my head. Like, Dakota Mermis wasn't on that list of high-end prospects when he got first recalled, right? So it's been very curious. Unfortunately, I haven't paid nearly as enough attention in Iowa or at any of these other guys to really know and understand that. But yeah, I think that is definitely an indication. He trusts Zach Bogosian. And again, Zach Bogosian's fine, in my opinion. He's whatever. I'm not upset about that necessarily. I'm upset about the timing, as I'd mentioned. But it does. It makes you wonder, are they going to have to look at getting better defensemen in the upcoming draft or in the next year, 2 years?
And Jesse, back to your point about Bogosian too, is I think what concerns me is he fits this profile of guys that Bill Guerin just absolutely loves. You know, he loves the veteran, the gritty guy, and that's fine if you need that guy. And those guys are great final pieces. Like, if you're a Stanley Cup team this time of year and you're like, we need to go get a locker room veteran guy that can, you know, that can play. Mm-hmm. The Wild has those guys in spades, but when you're trying to build something, it doesn't make a lot of sense to like build your team or a good, decent part of your team on, you know, Ryan Hartman, Marcus Foligno, Zach Bogosian, Freddie Goudreau. Like, you can go down this entire list. I guess my question is, what's the end game here? Like, is the end game to try and mix these guys with the youngsters? It feels like you've got prospects that should be coming up. It just feels like there is a, how can I put this nicely? There is a clog in the line that's going to stop guys from who should be getting opportunities from playing because of these old standbys that you seem to like so much. And I'm not sure that that's the most prudent thing for this franchise right now.
Yeah. And that was the question that we had at the beginning of the year when they extended Foligno and Hartman, right? It's like, well, what about Sammy Walker down there, or Adam Beckman, or any of these guys that had again been sold to us and had we, you know, seen glimpses of? Very rarely I find does it work to have such an old base with that young base, right? I think you look at what the Dallas Stars are doing, and that's what they're doing. But they have Tyler Seguin being their old guys, right? They've got Pavelski. Like, it's a very different group. Like, certainly there are guys that are on the veteran status that have that elite skill and not necessarily a complete knock to Foligno's and whatnot, but that's not them. Like, so that makes it even more puzzling. Like, why these guys? I understand the locker room importance, but it just seems like you are sacrificing skilled players to keep that locker room. And it just, I don't think that's the right way to do it either.
What do you think, Doug?
Yeah, this is the whole idea of extending all those guys in the summer is now, you know, hurting you because now you can really only trade just a few guys and you could maybe still fetch a few draft picks here and there. And we're going to probably get into that here as the trade deadline approaches in 48 hours. But in general, it's silly to just keep continue to extend veteran guys when now you have them locked up and you also didn't get and you gave them the no movement clauses. It doesn't add up. It doesn't make much sense.
Okay, so before Friday, the Wild plays against the Coyotes on Thursday night. Then they travel to Colorado and play the Avs on Friday night. But the trade deadline hits at 1 o'clock Mountain Time, 2 o'clock our time on Friday. Jesse, realistically, what are you looking to do as far as moves before then if you are the Wild?
I mean, move somebody. Brandon Duhaime has a number of interested teams, it sounds like. And if you can get a second round pick for Brandon Duhaime, I love that, right? Like, that's what's been projected. Yeah.
I'll pick him up and run him there.
I think you literally need to listen to whatever comes calling and make it make sense. You know, certainly you don't need to get a bag of pucks back, but I think that you are in the control seat, right? As Bill Guerin, with this team being where they are positioned, he gets to make the shots a little bit more, right? He gets to kind of say, yeah, you know what? Well, we want this because I know you really need this guy or I know you really want that. If people are looking at Philip Gustavson, you take a good hard look at that and say, you know what? Yeah, but I need this back or whatnot. I mean, there are different things that teams need at this point. The teams that are truly going to make the playoffs are looking to find that missing piece. And if the Minnesota Wild have to be kind of the bin that they go to, so be it. That's fine. Minnesota have made their bed and it's time for them to lie in it. And I think you do. You need to make it, again, make sense. I don't think Bill Guerin's a guy that's going to get fleeced on a trade by any stretch of the imagination, but be willing to say, yeah, you know, he's available.
And if you're going to trade a goalie, do they just take a second or, I mean, I don't think they'll get a first round pick for either of these guys. Never know what's going to happen, though. Goalies are always needed at the trade deadline. Are you going to take another goalie back? Because if not, then you're calling up Wallstead, and now you're kind of accelerating his timeline, which I'm not completely opposed to at this point, but if you're going to trade one of those guys, do you get another goalie back in that can, you know, kind of be the stopgap for obviously playing time this year, but also for Wallstead next season too, to be kind of the 1A, 1B. So you can get draft picks back for the Duhaimes, then maybe the Connor Dewars or whoever the heck you want. But if you trade a goalie, do you also get another goalie back? That's what I'm curious to see if they do.
On Gus, first of all, I have serious reservations now. Unfortunately, as the guy that was on the Gus Buzz trade him bandwagon, I have serious questions now about what you can get back because he's been so bad at times of late. Mm-hmm. And like his play, like I was all for trading him when it looked like, hey, he could help you win a game. I mean, we've seen games of late where it's like this guy just has no clue. So I would say this, though. First of all, I would trade Gus before Fleury because with Fleury, I think you're going to get almost nothing back at this point. Like, I wouldn't trade the flower for the sake of trading him unless somebody really wants him and is going to give me more. I think for Gus, I'd be probably looking for, like, a third-round pick. Like, I'd love to get a second, but I don't think with his play of late. But to Declan's question, I would be very comfortable after the deadline now giving Wallstedt a 20-game run here. And the reason why I say that is he has been stuck in Iowa playing for a bottom-feeding piece of crap team that's got, like, their defensemen are wiped out. They had to go get that kid from, what, Pittsburgh, right, Jesse?
Yeah.
to get that guy from Pittsburgh who won a Hobie Baker back in the day, not to help their team, but to help the Iowa team. So I think Wallstedt has seen enough work, and it's not like he's playing in front of a good team, that I would love to give him a look-see here. I also think that Dallas game was such a terrible game, and it wasn't his fault. Like, that team was a back-to-back, but more importantly, they were injured. They gave him no support. So I actually now wouldn't mind if you didn't get a goaltender back and went Fleury and Wallstedt. Here's another name I want to throw out, though. And I got this message on Facebook on Sunday. I believe his last name is pronounced Carrier. David Carrier had a question, and we've talked about this before. But he brought it back up, and it's a good point. If you were Bill Guerin, and, like, you don't have a lot of guys that people are chomping at the bit, like, Duhaime would help you, but you're not going to break the bank, to Jesse's point there. You're going to get something back. if somebody called you and said, Jake Middleton, who I believe has no protection, who is going on 30, who is nearing, I think he has 1 year left on his contract, so he doesn't necessarily fit in perfectly if you look at it from an age perspective. Jake Middleton, who I think could get you a really good return. Now, I do not expect Bill Guerin to do this because I'm sure he loves Tarps Off. But let's just say for a second, you disassociate yourself from Tarps Off, from the great guy, and it's just a business move. What would you need? Start with Declan here. What would you need to trade him? Because he strikes me now as a blue chip commodity. And to our point here, because of the no trade clauses, you don't have a lot of blue chip trade guys.
I mean, I would assume at the very least a couple like second round picks, but could you get a first? I mean, he's 28 years old. He's making next to nothing. Like $2.4 million is awesome. He signed through all of next season too, so he will probably get a big payday or is maybe in line to get extension talks for this summer with the Wild or with another team. Yeah, I would probably need at least two like future second round picks or even a first round pick. Right now, the Wild don't have a third round pick in this year's draft. They have both first and seconds over the next three drafts. I mean, despite all the wheeling and dealing Bill Guerin has done over the last few deadlines, he really hasn't mortgaged huge assets, which is actually a testament to him that he's been able to buy without having to give up your biggest assets. But I'd probably have to look to get back like early second round or first round picks if I was going to move Jake Middleton. That is an interesting one, though. Like we haven't discussed that. That hasn't really been a point of discussion. But again, he might be one of the few guys that if a team comes calling and needs defensive help, that could be something you actually get a legit haul for.
I want a pick for him and a pick for the mustache. So two picks, minimally. Yeah, I don't have any strong attachment. I've liked the way he's played. It's been very impressive. It's over-exceeded my expectations. But I would have no problem parting ways. I mean, this is a guy, again, who wasn't given a shot in San Jose. And, you know, the last overall pick, his draft year right before Connor McDavid. Again, love me some Midzy. Love his whole bit, his vibe, all of that. I could take or leave it. You're right. If somebody wants to offer something, and I do, I think people would find his value. Minnesota Wild certainly scratched it and said, hey, look at what we found in the dirt here. I have no qualms about separating. I'm just at the point, guys, where it's like, you know what? Show me the young guys. We go back to the Valstead thing. I was very adamant at the beginning of the year that I wanted to wait. I want to give him the time in Iowa.
Like
but
the
now,
goaltenders.
Now I'm like, show me what you got. You're got to be ready next year anyway. Show me what you got for, I mean, give me all the young guys. That way it doesn't really look like you're tanking. You're just trying to build for the future, but you're really just kind of being like, eh, we're here.
Exactly right. Well, and you don't need to dress this up then as a playoff race.
Yeah.
Like it's not like I would feel odd throwing a young goaltender into you're 2 points back. And now it's like, okay, dude, we traded our goaltender, but we still think that we can make the playoffs. That would feel like a lot, but you're 9 points back. You really should be. I mean, I consider tanking, if we're going to apply that word, I consider that to be months ago.
Yeah.
Like tanking is the start with Dean, and then it's like, screw it. We're just not that good, right? This is not tanking. This is a readjustment period.
Mm-hmm.
And just adjusting. And on Jake, I think that the contract, because you know, Dex is exactly right. His contract right now is favorable as can be, but he's going to get a lot next contract.
Yep.
Do you want to be the team to pay that? And if you know, this would be, Dex, I think, a bit like a baseball trade where you'd be giving a team Jake for the stretch run and all of next year. So like, if you're ever going to maximize his return, it's right now. Cause it's sort of, instead of one big bite at the apple, it's sort of a bite and a half, and the half is a playoff race.
Yeah, I don't know if they'd also maybe like want players back. Like, are they just looking for draft picks? Because, I mean, it's nice to have draft picks for sure, but it's hockey draft picks. These aren't football draft picks where you make a second-round pick and he's going to make an immediate impact with your team most likely in the next year. I wonder if they were to trade Middleton, if they would be willing to take maybe a lesser draft pick pack, let's call it like a third or a fourth, if they were able to maybe get a legit player back. I don't know if anyone's gonna be obviously giving up like a middle six center for Jake Middleton per se, but I wonder if there's another team that would say, you know what, forget the draft picks, or Bill Guerin just says, if you want him, we need something back that's actually gonna help us now instead of just stashing up, you know, second round picks, not to contradict my initial offer, but that'd be the better path instead of just accumulating draft picks if the Wild do really want to be better next season.
I mean, going back to what we were talking about with the defense and Zach Bogosian, would you require to get another defenseman back in that package? I mean, is that another option that you look at, right? You know, you're pretty, your depth is okay up front, but blue line, as we just talked about, has kind of been questionable. Like, where are we at with that? Would you require another defenseman maybe too? I think that might be another avenue to explore. Now, granted, you wouldn't get a defenseman that's probably a top four pair back for him. It's not going to be a one for one in that sense, but you know, somebody else that can maybe kick a John Merrill to the press box wouldn't be terrible.
How about a young defenseman with size, a prospect, in who you scouted? Like, I would love to give a team a ready-made playoff-type defenseman for a guy who you've developed but don't trust enough to play yet.
Yeah.
Like that's what I'm thinking. I love that. Because, like, this again goes back to, if you really aren't bringing up defensemen now because you don't think that they're that good, go get a guy that you do like. And don't go get Kalen Addison, God bless him, who's 5 foot seven and you think is good offensively, and then you won't play him. Go get guys. This team needs a lot of things. One thing that I am convinced, and they've never really gotten this, one thing that they need to do is improve their young size. Like, you look at playoff teams, defensemen, those guys are bleep kickers. Like, they're big and they're bleep kickers. And Middleton's sort of like that. But he's, you know, he's getting towards 30. So I'm with you guys. If you could get a prospect defenseman who you like and have scouted, and to Declan's point about this, not a draft pick, so it's not like a pie in the sky. It's an actual body who can probably help you starting next year. I think you got to consider it, because Billy sort of painted himself. Well, not sort of. He's painted himself into a corner here. He has so little that he can move because of the no trade clauses, that at some point in time, to improve this thing, I think you're probably going to have to make a trade that you don't love, but you can't be friends with everybody.
One for one, Matt Dumba, Jake Middleton.
Stop. Did you see the hit on Bedard last
night? I did. That's what made me think of it. I was like, great. That was a heck of a hit.
That
yeah.
was great.
Can we stop, young players, can you stop pulling up short of the boards and paying no attention? Someone's going to get hurt really bad here. This is not junior hockey. I mean, my God, this is the NHL. These are men. Be prepared. I've never seen so many young guys get thrown into. Someone's going to break their neck, I'm afraid. That's what really worries me.
Yeah.
Really worries me. And that should not be the case.
Well, I can't guarantee it'll prevent breaking necks, but instead of you know, having some brain fog, how about you have some AG1, all right, from our friends at Athletic Greens? It helps manage stress. You help recover from stress and mental clarity with alertness of one scoop from AG1, which covers nutritional gaps, too, and supports gut health. So if you're worried about getting those nutrition supplements, or you don't know what to do with your gut health and you just have that brain fog, try AG1. You can get a free one-year supply of the vitamin D3K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase, exclusively at ag1.com/JHS. That's drinkag1.com/JHS.
Beautiful. Jess, I found it, I guess the word's intriguing. The Wild played on Sunday. They came back and won. It was the Sharks. It was not that impressive. But they then decided to not practice Monday, Tuesday. We're recording this on Wednesday. They're going to practice this afternoon. Any theories about 2 days of practice being off this time of year? Like, one for sure. I really thought that they'd practice on Tuesday, though. Do you sense that this is done for a reason or just for pure rest reasons?
I mean, there has been a lot of conspiracy theories floating around. I've certainly heard them, like, oh, they're getting ready to make a big trade. Like, I don't know. Monday, not having practice made sense. They're on a back-to-back, right? It's give them the day off. Tuesday was puzzling, but they're back at it today, and they actually bumped practice up a half an hour because they do have a travel day. So typically they practice at 11. Today is 10:30 because they have to catch their flight out to Arizona. So I think bumping it up a half hour bodes well, saying that they're actually going to look at working the team. But as far as them canceling it, I don't know. Maybe John Hines is as soft as Dean Evson was and doesn't find a value in practice. I don't know, right? Like, I just don't know.
Wow, calling out the coach. All right, final thing. We've talked about what we think we'd like to see transpire. 2 o'clock on Friday, has Bill Guerin made trades? And do you think Jesse, that he has done anything major, or if he does, do you think it's minor?
I think he'll do something minor. I feel like he's a little gun shy to do anything big. I think I just get that sense. Usually he's not. So I hope he proves me wrong. I hope I'm wrong about this, but I feel like it's going to be something very minor. All year we've seen little minor things and, you know, this and that. And I think you'll see Brandon Duhaime likely moved. And I think that'll be about it. So all the speculation will be worth it, but I don't see anything major happening. And will it make the team better is my big question. I think not immediately. He's not going to make a move that's going to be an immediate impact on the team. It'll be something for whether it's a pick or whether it's a prospect, something down the line. Mm-hmm.
I think he'll make some type of moves. I don't know if it's trading a goaltender, but with them being 9 points out, you have to at least look at the situation and understand that, look, we're not going to be big buyers and we're not going to be able to really probably do enough from an external standpoint to make our team better. So at that point, you're going to have to trade off some assets. So yes, I do see Bill Guerin selling off some pieces of his roster by Friday's deadline.
I'm going with two moves. Duhaime's gone, which makes sense. And he could be great as a bottom six guy on a playoff team, I think, because he's so scrappy, good playoff player. So I think he's gone, and then I think we get another move of some sort. I think it's a goaltender. I mean, could he surprise us with a move that we don't see coming, i.e., a guy like Jake? Yeah, I don't think he will. It's not really in Bill's DNA to do that. But I do think that we get a secondary move. And just for fun, I personally buy out Marcus Johansson and pay the freight on that contract as quick as I can, because I don't want him around my team anymore. The whirling dervish has had his run. I'm so tired of it. Anyway.
Did you guys heard that Matt Zuccarello to New York has been a thing? Because some people have asked me that too, and I haven't even seen that speculation. But
no.
Right?
We're
curious.
So have you seen this or just been
somebody had asked, well, is there any truth to the rumors for Zuki to New York? And I hadn't seen anything of the sort. I would say probably not. I mean, I know New York absolutely loves him.
It makes perfect sense.
Yeah, I don't see that happening, though. They're Zuki really wouldn't have been so eager to jump on that contract extension, I would imagine.
But things haven't gone great. It's interesting that
that's where people, I think, the conspiracy theorists came out.
Well,
too.
Then John Hines is like, oh, Zuki's fine. That which I don't doubt he is fine. That's very interesting. He, you know what? Him going back to a Rangers team that's got Stanley Cup aspirations to hang with his buddy, the King, who owns the city. Yeah, I love that. That is reckless speculation at its height, but that is great, Jesse Pierce.
I can't take credit. I had never heard it. I was like, I just didn't know if anybody else I was missing out. And it came from a comment on our episode this week. So I was just like, I did not. I wasn't aware of that.
Very intriguing. Go Zefs. There you go. All right. We will be back. We'll be back with a full strength show a week from today. But I'm sure that we'll also be doing a show on Friday when the deadline does pass, especially if the Wild does something. We'll talk to you later. It's Judd's Hockey Show.